Another numerical association, which is written by the Ari HaKadosh, Mitzvahs, 1500s, he writes that if you count the strings of tzitzis, so you have 8 on each side, for a total of 8 times 4.
32.
8 times 4, 32. Which in numerical values is the word lev, heart. Lamed beis, lev, heart. So he quotes the verse, Noef isha, a person who acts immorally, chasar lev is because he was missing the 32. He was missing his heart. And he maintains that even though according to Jewish law, if one string gets cut after it's made, it catches on something and rips or something, the tzitzis are still valid. One string rips, still valid. He says it's worth replacing. Because you want your 32. You want your protection. Take a look at this incident, the large paragraph, which I quote for you. It's a passage in the Talmud. Anybody who thinks the Talmud is not open about anything and everything, never studied. There was an incident with a man who was careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. He had that to his credit. He heard of a prostitute that took 400 gold coins as her wage. I don't know how much that is, but gold traditionally, I mean, that sounds like a lot of money. She knows her business. He sent her 400 gold coins to make an appointment. When he arrived, she had prepared for him by setting up 7 beds. The first 6 were silver, with ladders connecting them. The image, he would climb up from bed to bed. The 7th was of gold, and upon it she waited. In Rome, they knew how to do it, you know? As he prepared for her, his tzitzis came and slapped him in the face. Presumably, this is figurative. He was taking them off, and he realized their message. And he realized, I can't do this. He removed himself from the situation, started leaving, and she came over to him. Tell me what's wrong with me, she asked. What did you see that made you stop? He said, I assure you there is none as beautiful as you. But there's a commandment called tzitzis. And it's written there, I am Hashem your God. My tzitzis appeared to me as witnesses that they're going to say testimony in front of God. And I saw the tzitzis and I couldn't do it. Is another amazing numerical association regarding the windings. The tzitzis are done as 5 knots. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The numerical times of windings, you'll notice, towards the garment is smaller, less windings, than further up. The number is 7, 8, 11, 13. Got to memorize it. I'll test you on it. 7, 8, 11, 13.
Why?
I thought you'd never ask.
All the times you wind.
The number of times that you wind it. The number of times you wind it. These are winds. Mm-hmm. What's appearing here are the number of times that one of the strings, one of the threads was wound around the other ones. That's how you make tzitzis. You put 4 strings in so they become 8. You send them through so that they doubled over. You make a knot, regular double knot. You take 7 of the strands and you wind the other strand around them. Make your next double knot. So it's 7, 8, 11, 13. 7 and 8 is how much? 15. Yud and then a hey of God's name is how much? Yud is 10. Good. He is 5 is 15. The Vav and the He of God's name, the end of that name, is 6 plus 5 is 11. So now you have the 7, 8 is 15. And the 11 matches the 11. And Hashem Echad. Echad is Aleph Ches Dalet is 13. So Hashem Echad, Yudke Vavke Echad, God is one, is symbolized by the windings. In other words, there isn't a move that we make in tzitzis without having a reason for why you're doing that number. I'll tell you an amazing story I came across in the Medrash. Again, Shavuos is coming up. The story of Shavuos is between Rus and Boaz. Boaz is the mentor of the generation. Rus is the convert, righteous convert. And she wants to be part of Jewish people. She wants to marry. So she goes one night when Boaz is sleeping and sneaks up on him. And he rolls over in bed. And behold, there's a woman next to him. What's she all about? So Rus says, I am Rus. Ufarasta kinafecha. I want you to grab hold of your corner and spread it upon me. So simply, people translate, she was saying, you know, take me in as a wife. Spread your clothing, spread your aura, spread your responsibility to include me. I saw in the Tamayam and Hagen that the Shloha HaKadosh, Kabbalistic writer, writes that tzitzis are a protection also from anger. Why? Because if you pick up your tzitzis, which reminds you of your commandments, there's very little that could get you angry. Because you suddenly reason you're here in this world for a mission, and the mission is decided by God. What does anger come from? Anger comes from a person's having a perception of the way things should be, and the world is not matching up to his perception, so he gets angry. If a person's perception of the world is, God's giving me the challenges he wants, it's very hard to get angry. Yeah, that's happening because that's my challenge. So she said to him, grab hold of your garment, says the Shloha HaKadosh, because didn't want him to get angry. Take it a step further, though, according to what we just learned. What was she really telling him? You're getting angry because there's a woman who snuck up on you and just created a very uncomfortable position for you. A big challenge. There's a woman lying here. Middle of the night. No one knows. You're a righteous man. You're ready to get angry at me because I presented you with a moral challenge. Are you going to spend the night correctly or not? So she says, grab hold of your tzitzis and you won't have a problem.
So he did?
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah. Grab hold of your tzitzis. I came here because I had to sneak up on you because I had to tell you privately that you should marry me. But you're worried about the byproduct of what I just did, that you're in a precarious spiritual position right now. No problem. Grab hold of your tzitzis. I'm telling you, after reading that medrash and that discussion, I would pay a pretty penny to have been a fly on the wall when her eyes met his and she said to him, as only a wife can say to a future husband, grab hold of your tzitzis, you'll be okay. Now let's continue the discussion.
So you're supposed to wear them to sleep?
That's an interesting discussion. The Ari HaKadosh, I believe, there's a machlokas. We generally don't. There are people who do.
Because you're not seeing them if you're sleeping.
Correct. Yeah. They purposely leave them on during
the
night. Yeah, they say that it adds a certain energy and it's worth... most people do not. Practical application is we take it off. We'll see in a minute, there's no mitzvah at night. But for the energy purpose, Kabbalistically, there are those who say you should leave them on. So it's not impossible that he was wearing them. You know, that's... Okay. A person who pays attention can benefit from the tzitzis. I mean, you benefit either way, but I'm saying you're asking a practical story. If people pay attention, then they definitely benefit, and that's why many people like to wear them out, purposely, so that you see them. Again, if a person's not going to observe the mitzvah because wearing them out would cause him problems, particularly in business, so then you wear them in and don't worry about it.
And what about religious Jews who do the wrong thing that you read about in the newspaper?
Oh.
And they're wearing
tzitzis.
And they're wearing tzitzis.
They're wrong.
But how could they do that?
That's cool.
God asked the same question.
And they have all the reminders.
Yeah. So
observant Jews who commit crimes and, you know.
It's a big problem.
Wearing
tzitzis. It's a big problem.
Not wearing.
Who are?
How could it be? This is the question. How could it be that there's a person who is fully observant, including the safeguards, and he still purposely goes ahead and cheats? How could it be? It could be. There's still free choice. We have all the safeguards in place. But if you want to do the wrong thing, you could do the wrong thing. They have a museum of paper cutters from the earliest times of electricity with paper cutters. You put in a sheaf of paper and the machine cuts. So one of them that's on display was made with a safety button. It would only cut the paper if someone pushed both buttons. And the point of that is so that your hand should not risk being in there. If you're working quickly, you could, God forbid, still have your hand and the cutter comes down. Terrible thing. So it had two buttons. It wouldn't work unless you have both buttons being pressed. So by definition, the person has to have both hands out of the machine before he can activate the cutter. So, this machine made it to the museum because its last cutting that it was used was an accident. What was the accident? A person decided, one of the workers decided, that it's a pain in the neck to have to press both buttons. He can work much faster if he only has to press one. He can put the thing in, press the button, at the same time be grabbing the next sheaf of paper, and he can work much faster if he only has to press one. So he wedged a screwdriver into one of the buttons so that the safeguard was no longer active. That button was always down. And now he's back to one button when he wants to cut the paper. And lo and behold, what happened because he got rid of the safeguard?
Cut his hand.
He cut his hand. Mm-hmm. In a horrendous accident. And they retired that machine after that accident. They're safeguards. If a person doesn't want the safeguard to stop him, imagine this guy that we discussed, this long paragraph from the Gemara. The guy's tzitzis slapped him in the face, figuratively. He saw them. Right? If he wanted to,
he could have ignored it.
He could have put the tzitzis on the floor, stepped on them, and then started climbing up the beds. It's a free world, free choice. God stands by and watches. Turn to the first side, the source of the word. Something very fascinating here. Remember, there are two themes in tzitzis. One theme is that it has this mystical power to protect a person from immoral behavior. And a second theme is that it reminds us of all the mitzvahs. Take a look at these quotes. The first one, tzitzis, is defined as a movement pressing outwards from inside. If you have something that's contained, something that has a smooth border, and something sticks out, it's called tzitz. Hence, tzitz means sprouting or blossoming forth. You have a branch and suddenly something pops out from a stem, from branches or plants. In rabbinic Hebrew, we actually have a derivative of the word tzitz called ziz, which means a projection. If you have a house and suddenly in the middle of the house, one of the beams is just sticking out. It wasn't cut properly. It's sticking out. It's called a ziz. Something that sticks out is tzitz or ziz. And according to that, you really understand what the function of tzitzis is. You wonder, it's not smooth. What's this thing sticking out? Yeah, it's a reminder. It's sticking out. In that case, it slapped him in the face. It's supposed to be like that. And that's a reminder of all the mitzvahs. The second quote, which is the other dimension of tzitzis, having to do with immoral behavior and exploration. A person by nature is inquisitive and curious. This quality was placed within him so that he should strive for greatness and depth in Torah. Basically, Yuri's objection that if you reach a standard, you're going to lose inspiration in it because it just becomes repetitive. This quality of inquisitive and curious, you keep going deeper. You have a new insight into the mitzvah. However, if this quality is misused, it can bring tremendous destruction on the person. Often people say, let me just experience this improper thing, just once. It's this curiosity that pushes the person to think that this craving is truly important. I remember in yeshiva, we had this phase where everybody wanted to know what a McDonald's cheeseburger was like. So someone came up with the case. Rebbe, what would happen if I was on a desert island and there was no food to eat except for McDonald's? Would I be allowed to go into McDonald's and have a cheeseburger? There's like this curiosity, inquisitive. I just want to taste it once. I'm going to go through my whole life without tasting it ever? There's a lady somewhere that charges 400 gold coins. I'm going to go through life without ever having tried it? The word tzitzis reminds us about that inquisitive nature. A person peeks out, wants to check it out. Just once, I want to see what it's all about. And we're being reminded to use that inquisitive nature for the 613 mitzvahs. And don't use that inquisitive nature to just seek out the pleasures of the world. But again, two very different approaches to the word tzitzis from two different commentaries, but they're both fascinating. Either that it protrudes like a blossom blossoming forth, like a projection, or the other one to remind us about this inquisitive nature of a human being. And instead, take a look at the tzitzis and use it for the 613 that are represented by it.